But I know that you're going to be able to glean something like that off of something like that for your mission. And this message is, if you got the picture, I think this picture is going to say a whole lot about what the message is going to be about. Okay, that's the word here is Ziklag. It's a tough word. Even by my own standard, when I came up with, you know, I like to come up with good catchy titles, and I was like, that's so strange to even call a message Ziklag. Because I know probably very few people would know the meaning of that word. But that word says a whole lot about sometimes what we deal with in life. The word Ziklag is actually an old city, an old town in Israel. It has a very interesting story behind it. And we're going to get to that story in just a little bit. But I know, maybe you don't know this, but you've been in that city before. Some of you guys might still be there. Some might have visited the city a while back. And when we go through this, it's going to bring back some memories, some emotions maybe. But you've been there before, and I've got a test to prove it. Okay? I want you to finish those sentences for me. Okay? So I'm going to start the sentence, and you're going to finish it. Have you ever said this to yourself? I am at the end of my... Right? You've said that before. I can't see the light at the end of the... I am stuck between... Didn't have to go very far on that one. You've been there before. You've been in Ziklag before. All I can say is that you guys need a whole bunch of counseling. If you've been in those places, we need to talk. We need to have a conversation. Ziklag is not just a physical place. It's not just a spot on a map. Ziklag is actually a psychological place that we've visited. We've been in those places before. Maybe in our hearts, in our minds, but we've been there. So the Hebrew meaning of this word is this: pressed down. I want you to think about this. I want you to remember that word. And the meaning of that word is pressed down. But I've got a left hook to this message. You know what's a left hook, right? I got a left hook to this message. But I want you now to remember that word, Ziklag, meaning pressed down. Now that must be a very depressing place if you live in a town called Ziklag, right? I wouldn't want to live in a town called Ziklag. That's depressing. If that's your town, move. Move. Or lobby to change the name, at least. But don't just stay in a place called Ziklag. I did a little bit of research on places in the U.S. that have names that probably need to be changed for whatever reason. They've been named those names, and where did they get that name, those names from? I have no idea. Dismal, North Carolina. Is anybody from Dismal, North Carolina here? Dismal, North Carolina. Boring, Maryland. Boring, Maryland. Misery Bay, Michigan. Cape Disappointment. You know that. You've been there. You don't want to move there, right? Cape Disappointment, Washington. Little Hope, Texas. Why don't we just name the town Hope? Why Little Hope? So these are the names of places that people visit, and they reside in those places. Ziklag is a similar place where people call home. Move, if that's the place where you call home. I believe by the end of this message, a lot of you are going to fill out a form, a change of address form. I wish we had a few of those here. Where you can actually fill it out and say, yo, I'm changing my address. I'm no longer going to live in a place called Ziklag, pressed down. I'm going to move to a different place, full of hope, full of joy. I'm going to move to oceans where there's freedom, there's grace flowing, there is joy, there are smiles on people's faces. I would like to live in a place like this where I feel welcome. Your Ziklag could be many things, okay? Could be a few things. A marriage that is failing. A marriage that is stalling, that is misfiring, a relationship that is broken, that needs to be restored. Your financial situation might be that place. Having difficulties raising kids could be that place. Your Ziklag could be many things that is that are pressing you down, that are keeping you from fulfilling your calling, from fulfilling what God has for you in this life. These places are your Ziklag. These places are places of failures that you don't need to live in. But one thing I can tell you for sure, you don't have to make failures or brokenness your permanent address. You don't have to make that your permanent address. You got a choice to make, to trade off those painful, hurtful places for a place of freedom. You can trade that off. You can change the address and say, you know what, I refuse to stay in a place that is like this, where I feel the whole weight of the world on my shoulders. The responsibility of making sure that things are put together, are done right in a certain way. God is saying, you know what, just relax. Take it easy. Take the burden off of you. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I did not create you to carry the weight of the world on your shoulder. I sent my son to do it for you. He died for the world. He died for you and me, so that we don't have to feel like this. So we don't have to stay in a place called Ziklag. He died for our freedom. So we need to change the way we see us holding the weight of the world on our shoulders, because we were not created to live like this. Can you imagine going through life feeling so depressed and oppressed by every single situation, by every single thing that the enemy is sending our way to hold us down. That doesn't mean that we're going to live a life that is going to be totally free from any kind of pain. Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble. You will have persecution. You will have difficult times. You're going to be involved in sticky situations. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Rejoice. Change your way of thinking. Because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. The whole weight, I've carried the weight myself so that you don't have to do it. Now that's freedom. That's freedom. But many times through life, sometimes through choices, sometimes it's just simply because we live in a world that is fallen. We end up in a place called Ziklag, where we are pressed down by life. We are pressed down by the enemy. The enemy's job is to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come so that you may have life and life more abundantly. So the enemy is always going to try to put the weight of the world on your shoulder. But you just have to break loose. You have to raise a hallelujah when the weight of the world is on your shoulders. That's when you raise your hands up to Jesus. You're breaking loose. You're breaking free from that weight that the enemy is trying to press on you. The enemy wants you to stay in Ziklag. He's got a plan for you in Ziklag to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come so that you can move from Ziklag to a different place, a place of freedom. So there's a part in the Bible where there was an encounter with David and his man and the Amalekites, the enemy. David visited this place called Ziklag, and guess what? He moved in that place called Ziklag. Through choices that he made throughout his life, when he was on the run from Saul, King Saul was trying to kill him. So he was on the run. He made an alliance with the Philistine, the enemy. Probably a wrong move, right? He made an alliance with them, and eventually through that alliance, which was broken after a while, because you cannot live with God and with the enemy at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. So he was serving God while he had an alliance with the enemy. And did not go very well for him. He ended up in this place called Ziklag, called Pressdown, an oppressive place. And there, this is where we pick up this story. It's in 1 Samuel. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it or take notes. It says, David's conflict with the Amalekites. So now he's away from the Philistine. Now the Amalekites are also coming. See, the enemy is never going to quit attacking. When the Philistines are out of the picture, there's going to be another wave. This time the enemy is going to be called the Amalekites. So they came against David and his men. And in verse 30, starting with verse 1, it says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. Here's that town called Ziklag. That's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. When they came to the town called Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded them, had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked. and burn it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there. They took everything, from small to great. But they did not kill anybody. They did not kill anyone. They took everything that was alive. Man, I mean, there were men were gone. The women, the children, and the animals took everything that were alive and took them captive. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. That's where the oppression comes in from the enemy. The enemy will come and steal everything that you have and will burn everything to the ground to destroy. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then the man, David, and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. They wept so much until there was no power, no strength in them to weep anymore. Can you imagine how much crying, how much weeping that would be? When you're crying so much until you reach the point of there is no more strength. There are no more tears to come out. They were at that point. They were at that point in their life where everything was falling apart. That's a bad place to be. Where you feel you're helpless. You're watching everything being stripped away from you. And you have no power to do anything about it. You've lost your sons, your daughters, and everything that is alive is gone. The enemy has burned everything to the ground. You cried so hard and so much that you cannot cry anymore. I don't think I've ever been in that place where David and his men are right now when we're reading this. Where you've lost everything. And then in verse 6 it says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved. Everyone around him, his men who followed him, who left everything behind to follow David on his quest, they were turning on him. They were so distressed and grieved by the loss that they wanted to just stone him and kill him. Can you imagine getting in a place like this where you've lost the value of life? When you no longer care about anything anymore. That's where they were. They were grieved to the point where they did not care about their leader anymore. They, in fact, they said, you know what, let's just do away with him right here, right now. Because he's led us to this place. They're probably going in and having little meetings here and there and saying, you know what, he's the one who led us there to this place called depression, called Ziklag. They're probably wondering why. Why are we here? But this is what David did. In this moment of depression, in this moment where he's about to lose his life, he turned to God. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in God. And I'm going to stop right here. When we get in this place called Ziklag, we know for a fact that God does not want us to stay there. But there are certainly ways that he wants us to follow him in a certain path where he's going to lead us out of this place called Ziklag. So what must you and I do to get out of this place called Ziklag? What do we do? What can we learn from this David story right here? There's certainly a whole lot that we can pick out from this. The very first thing is cry. Yeah, cry. Yes, that's what I'm saying, cry, like tears coming out. Oh, it's not so manly to cry. When you are in a situation like this, where everything that you have have been taken away from you, where your son, your daughters, everything has been stripped away from you, guess what? Man, you're going to cry. You're going to cry. You're going to cry out to God. And that's where you start. It's funny that I'm saying cry now, and my second point is strengthen yourself. It's like almost like they don't go in together, because sometimes we think of crying as a sign of, I feel weak, I'm crying, tears are coming down. No. Crying sometimes is a sign of your strength. You're crying out to God for God to intervene on your behalf. Don't just watch your marriage falling apart and you not crying out to God to intervene. Don't watch your sons being taken away from you and you not crying out to God to intervene. Don't just watch sickness come from the enemy to steal, to kill, and to destroy you, and you just sit there and you don't do anything about it. The very first thing you do is get up. Cry if you must, but don't just sit there and do nothing about it. Just the past couple of days, Jeremiah has been complaining about his knee. I don't know if he's going through a growth spurt that we were talking about earlier. Because he's like, I can't bend it or whatever. The very first thing I say is that you're going to have to stretch this thing out. Get up and move. He's like, well, it's painful, Dad. I'm like, no, get up and move. Don't just sit there and just tell me that it's hurting. Yes, we'll pray about this. Just this morning, we were right there. We're doing worship here. I reach over and I touched his knee, and we're praying over his knee. But I'm like, now you do the work. You stretch it out. You walk back and forth. God does not want us to just sit back and take it from the enemy. It's okay to cry. Cry if you must. But don't just stop there with just tears. God cares about your tears. God cares about your emotion. But God doesn't want your emotion to rule everything that you do. Here's a scripture. My number one point is, cry if you must. Because this is what David and his men, they did. They lifted up their eyes, their voices, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. Your walk of faith is not going to be a walk without emotions, without feelings. God created you with those sets of emotions. Just like we prayed earlier, those set of emotions need to be harnessed under full submission under God. Then they are effective. Then you will not be led by those emotions. You're still going to be led by God, but God is going to use those emotions to lead you. So cry if you must. God is counting the tears. I was looking up scriptures, and I was like, yeah, God cares about tears. You know, in Psalms, do we have that psalm up? The next one. Psalm 56, verse 8 and 9, it says this. You number my wanderings. You know what this is saying? You number my wanderings. God has a GPS tracking device on you. He's tracking everywhere you go. There's not a place where you can go that God doesn't know where you are. Isn't that crazy? He numbers your wanderings. And then he says, put my tears into your bottle. So God has got a bottle. I want the man to hear me out. God has got a bottle. I know women don't have any issue with that. Okay? The bottle is overflowed. God is reaching out, grabbing another one. And anyway. Maybe not for Dawn. She doesn't cry very much. I cry a lot. I'm serious. I'm very close to that side of me where it just flows. It just flows. When I'm alone with God, I cannot just be alone with God without tears flowing. When I read this scripture, it says, He takes my tears into His bottle. He's got a bottle that He's counting every tear that I'm shedding for my family. When my son is hurting, there's a tear that comes out that God is catching that tear. He's mindful of my emotions. He's mindful of my feeling. So God is mindful of yours too. Every feeling, every emotion that you have towards what's hurting you, He knows about it. And He's paying attention. He's tracking you wherever you are. And then He says, are they not in your book? He's tracking your movement in His book. He's keeping track of where you've been, where you're going, and what you're doing. All the time. Sometimes we overlook that. God, do you care that I'm here? Do you care that this is what I'm doing today? He cares about every part of your life. More than what sometimes we give Him credit for. He's a smart God. He's a big God. He can track you. He can track me at the same time. Isn't that crazy? He can do it all at one time. He can track the whole population of the world. Everybody's movement at the same time. Can you imagine how many billion of people? 6, 8 billion? He can track every one of them. That's a big God. That's a big God. And He's got everything mapped out. And He says, I will cry out to you. When you're crying out to God, the enemy will turn their back. They will turn their back away from you and they will run away from you. So crying out to God is a must. That's where you start when you're in a place called Ziklag. Cry out to God. This I know because God is for me. God is always for you. My second point is strengthen yourself. You cry, it's good, but don't just end up with just crying and tears and tears and tears. Move beyond the tears. Get to the place where you get stronger in God. Where that emotion side of you is not ruling the system. Where your spirit man is taking over. That's where you strengthen yourself. You were created as a spirit first. Do you guys know that? You were created as a spirit who possesses a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. but you were created as a spirit first. So here, when you strengthen yourself in the Lord, you are strengthening your spirit man. You're no longer letting the tears rule, although the tears are important because God is catching them. But God doesn't want just the tears to rule everything that you do. God wants the spirit man to be strengthened back up. So David, when he was greatly distressed, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Because Ziklag can be a fearful place. If you've been there, when you've been stuck in between a rock and a hard place, it's a fearful place to be. Where uncontrolled emotions can lead to chaos. And that's exactly what was happening right now. They cried, but this uncontrolled emotion led to chaos. Chaos to the point of them wanting to stone David. Now that's chaos. Where people are getting unruly. They are emotionally charged, but they are being driven by this emotion. If you feed that emotion person so much, guess what? It's going to take over. And that's exactly what happened here in Ziklag when they felt the pain, the hurt, the loss. That pain drove them to that conclusion, to that chaos. Let's just stone the guy and be done with it. But when you strengthen yourself with God, you're turning not towards your situation anymore, but you're turning to the Lord, your God, who's listening to you, who's mapping every movement that you've made, and he's saying, I'll give you all the strength that you need. I am your very present help in time of trouble. That's where I step in and I do the things that you cannot do. That's when I step in and I say, this weight is mine, not yours to carry. But you got to strengthen yourself in God. You draw close to him. There's no point of running away, because we just read earlier that he's mapping every part. Wherever you go, he's tracking you. So why run away? Why run away from God where he knows where you are? There's no point. Might as well just run to him. Just run to God. If you're going to run, just run to him. When you draw close to him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to draw close to you. That's his nature. That's what he does as a loving father. When you make the first step towards him, he's running towards you. He's chasing you. He's making sure that you stay in the place where you are close to him. That's his desire. That's what he's after. And he's saying, people, just listen. Don't just stay and remain in a place where the enemy is beating you up. Move. Move to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The strength is found when we are yoked with him. Come to me, and I will give you the rest that you need. Don't focus on the fear that is around you, because I have not given you a spirit of fear. Because when you are in that situation where you've lost everything and you feel the weight of the world on your shoulder, guess what? Fear would come in. Fear would drive you to do things and say things that you will regret. When you look at your marriage from the standpoint of everything is falling apart, and you cannot come up with anything good to say even about your marriage, guess what's going to happen? Fear comes in. A spirit will come in to stifle anything that God wants to do. and rob you. The enemy of fear would come in and rob you of every peace that God wants to bring in. You would all of a sudden start looking for a way out. You would start seeing how everything is falling apart, and your focus would be on that thing and that one thing only. How it's not working. God is saying, I want you to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is me. So you draw yourself towards that light and not turn your back on it. That's how we leave the place called Ziklag. You strengthen yourself and you don't allow fear to set a foothold in your house. You got to drive fear out, because God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you the power in Himself to drive that spirit of fear out. Don't allow fear by the enemy to come in, because God has given you the power of love and a sound mind. Stop calling yourself crazy. Oh, I'm just going crazy. No, you're not. Because here the Word of God says, I have not given you a spirit of crazy. I have given you a sound mind. You can think clearly. You can think clearly, even though the enemy is attacking you from every front. You can still think clearly, because God has given you a spirit that can do that. A sound mind that you have in order to strengthen yourself. See, everything that you do, you're never going to do it in your own strength. Might as well just turn to God. Because you can't do it on your own anyway. That's the way that I see myself. I'm like, you know, I have no idea what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say. Lord Jesus, you're going to have to intervene. You're going to have to just show me. And that's the way I approach everything that I do. That's the way I can stand up here and give you guys a message that He's given to me. Because I start with this. Lord, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I have no idea what I'm going to say. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. Lord, but You've given me a mind. A mind of Christ. And when I'm going like through the circuit, and thoughts are coming through my head. I'm going in the gym and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm thinking, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. You're going to have to give me the word. You're going to have to pour it in me first so I can pour it out on Sunday morning. It starts there at that place where you are vulnerable. When you say, Lord, if You don't go out with me, I'm just going to die. I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. That's the place where you start, where you cry out to Him, and you don't just stop there. You strengthen yourself in the presence of God. And you said, you know what? I know You are with me. I know that You are for me. I know that You've gone before me. You prepared a way so that when I go there, you've already been there, and You're going to meet me there. So when I'm going to a place, I know God has already gone ahead of me. I'm just going there to meet Him. When you're setting foot in your workplace, do you know that God has already gone ahead of you? You're just going to your workplace to have an encounter with Him, because He's already gone ahead of you. So when you set the course of your life in that manner, you will always be strong. You would always call yourself, I have a strong mind. I have a sound mind. I can follow God. I hear His voice. He's my God. And He's my shepherd. I'm His sheep. And the Word says that I'm His sheep. I hear His voice. I will not be confused by the enemy. Because this place where David was, it was a confusing place. Confusing. Because the enemy was there. The enemy will always bring in confusion. The third part is worship. Worship. After you strengthen yourself in God and you've got a word from God, you turn to worship. You worship. You go crazy in worship. This is what David did. He called the priests He says, bring the ephod here to me. The ephod is a garment of praise. It's a garment of praise that worshippers would wear. The priests, the worshippers would actually wear those garments. He'll say, bring in to me the garment of praise. David knew that he had to change the atmosphere at that point. Have you ever been in a place, in a meeting or whatever it might be, where you can feel the tension in the air? And David stepped into this place and he could feel that tension. They want to kill him. So he knew at that point he must change that atmosphere. He must turn it around. So he called the worshipers. He didn't just wait for them. You know, when you call in the worshipers, you can stand back and say, you come and worship and I'm going to sit there and watch. He's like, no, you bring me the main garment of what a worshiper would wear, the ephod. If I want to see a change in the atmosphere, I want it to start with me. I want it to start with me. Same like with worship. Like for me, I cannot expect a new, a higher level of worship. With all of you, if I don't go in there first myself, if I don't lead the way, if I don't wear that ephod myself first. So this is exactly what David did. He said, you bring the ephod to me and I'm going to lead the way. I am going to change the atmosphere in this place. I'm going to make sure that the presence of God is restored. When you worship, you would shift the attention from whatever difficult situation that you might be in, back unto God. It's not like you're in denial. It's different. When you switch to worship, you're putting God on the throne of your life. You saying, Lord, I am no longer in charge. It's you. It's all about you. And I'm making a choice now to put you back on the throne of my life. Everything that we do hinges on this question. Who is sitting on the throne of your life? Is it God? Is it someone else? Is it even you? When you worship, and you worship like David is worshiping here, you're putting God back on that throne of your life. That's exactly what David did. And then he did not just stop there with just worship. He prayed. Pray your way out of Ziklag. Pray your way out. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him. See, he was waiting for God to answer. Prayer is just simply you inquiring of God. Lord, what do I do? I have no clue how to handle this situation. You show me a way out. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. Now here's my final thought. He called in the worshipers to come and to worship. He restored God back to the throne of his life. But he did not stop there. He waited for the answer, and he got it from God. I'm sure you would want to know how the story ends, right? What happened to David and his men? You know, we've lost everything and we stopped at verse 6. There's much more to it than just there. In verse 18 and 19, this is how the story ends. David recovered all. All that the enemy had carried away. And guess what? Nothing of theirs was lacking. Either small or great, son, daughters, spoil, or anything which they had taken away from them. Everything was restored. Not a life was destroyed. So my question to you is this. How would your story end? How would your story end? Would you raise a hallelujah for God? I've got my left hook now for this message. You ready for it? You ready? Remember what I told you about Ziklag? What does it mean? Press down. Here's the left hook. Press down is Ziklag. The other meaning to Ziklag is this. Fortress. Ziklag also means fortress. A fortress is a place of strength. A fortress is a place of freedom. Church, I believe it's time to switch addresses. It's time to switch from Ziklag to fortress. I would much rather live in a place called fortress. I believe in that verse right after 19 there, when the restoration came. God changed the name of that town. That town became known as Fortress. So how would your story end? Do you still want to stay in that place called Ziklag? It's a choice, it's a decision that you're going to need to make yourself. It was a choice that David had to make to cry out to God. It was a choice that he had to make to pray, to worship, to run to God, to draw close to Him. And it's a decision that you're going to need to make yourself. No one is going to force you. God is certainly not going to come and push you out of Ziklag. You're going to need to get up yourself and say, you know what? I refuse to stay in that place. I'm going to a new place. I'm going to a new place where there's hope, there's peace, where there's the presence of God. It starts with you raising a hallelujah in your life. Would you please stand?
Presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah comes to fight for me. 'Cause I'm gonna sing in the middle of this storm, louder and louder. We're gonna hear my praises roar. From the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The clear is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah, and I will watch the darkness flee. Oh, I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. You hold on me, yeah. 'Cause I'm gonna sing in the middle of this storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. My King is alive. Sing a little louder.
Oh, sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Yes, sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Yes, sing a little louder. Oh, sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
Louder than my unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Oh, sing a little louder.
And heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of the enemies.
Sing a little louder. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. I raise a heart.
That's what the enemy wants to tell you. You're done. You're done. You've done your thing. Don't stop. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. This is when freedom is happening, church. This is when freedom is happening for you. This is your moment, and you know it. And you know it. This is your time. You raise it. You shout. Shout it out. Raise it up. Hallelujah.
I will shout your name.
Hallelujah.
Shout your name.
Yes. Yes. You sing it louder. Louder than the unbelief. Louder than the unbelief. This is your weapon. This
You're
is it. Hallelujah. We shout
I am
to
not
you.
Alone. So sing a little louder.
Church,
with
sing it
this
loud.
Melody,
Jesus.
Sing a little louder. My weapon, Lord. Sing a little louder. In the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder. Louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Lord, we sing
louder. Oh, sing a little louder.
From a place of victory. Do you know that? Sometimes you have to tell yourself that he's already done it. He's already won. It's the enemy's lies that wants to tell you that you're never going to get out of this. That is a lie from the pit of hell.